Luke chapter 2. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2. Let us pray. Lord, as we behold your word this morning, let the heavens open unto us. Let light shine from heaven. Let it illuminate our hearts, O God. I ask, O Lord, that you anoint me afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. You are the potter, I am the clay in your hands this morning. You think through my mind and speak through my mouth, and you anoint my tongue afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your word, Lord, flow out of me like streams of living water. Lord, I pray that the hearts and the ears of your people will be receptive, and they will be anointed to receive the engrafted word, so that at the end of the day, both the speaker and the hearer will have been tremendously blessed of you. Thank you, because you are a faithful God, faithful to your word. And we just receive your anointing and your presence, even as we preach and as you teach the word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Luke chapter 2. Now, a few weeks ago, we started a series that I titled, Exceed Your Limits. Exceed Your Limits Without Breaking. And we've covered a few aspects of that over the past 3 weeks. We started with the title, You're More Than This. You're More Than This. And then the second week, we went into the fear factor. We talked about the fear factor. Last week, by the grace of God, I taught from this pulpit about the limits surpassing elements of Christmas. And we talked about the three elements that were present on Christmas Day. And those were the power of God, the superlative power of God. We talked about the surrendered heart of Mary. And we talked about the obedience of Joseph. Today, by the grace of God, I'm going to be concluding this series by teaching on what I've titled the trademark of limit breakers. The trademark of limit breakers. This morning, I'm going to be trusting the Lord to help me to teach. So I'll be doing more of teaching this morning. And I just want you to flow along with me. Because in teaching, we'll probably be going into a bit of depth about some few things, and we'll just stay there. So I'm not going to run through the usual way, but I'm just going to teach on this particular subject. The trademark of limit breakers. Luke chapter 2, I'll read a particular verse. Before I just read that passage, you know, anytime you talk about the Christmas story, we all remember Mary, we talk about Joseph. Of course, like last week, we talked about the power of God present. And then after the child Jesus was born, there were other things that happened that were recorded in the past in the book called the Bible that some of us sometimes gloss over because we probably think it's not very important. It's probably not very too relevant. But today, I want to bring to our attention a particular character in the Bible that came into the scene around the time Jesus was born, a few weeks after Jesus was born, whose life is supposed to be a great example to us in this age and how. Now, the name of this man is called Simeon. Now, anytime we talk about Simeon, there are a few popular Simeon in the Bible. One of them was the son of Jacob. You remember the 12 sons of Jacob. But this Simeon is different from that. And the other person is also Hannah, A-N-N-A. Anna is not the same H-A-N-N-A-H that we have in the Old Testament that had no child and had to pray about things, and God gave her a beautiful baby boy. But this Hannah is different, and we find these two people, these two characters in the book of Luke. But I'm going to actually just concentrate this morning teaching about the life of the man called Simeon. Just focusing our attention on a particular character of his and seeing how it applies to us as 21st century believer. Luke chapter 2, I'll read from verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of our purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jesus, to Jerusalem, to present him to the Lord. I want you to follow this important, very important story, please. Verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit. Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Verse 83. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken of. The trademark of limit breakers. By the way, the word trademark defines a quality of behaving or speaking in a very particular way that is different from others. So when you talk about trademark, you're talking about some elements of peculiarity, something that is only known to a particular people, group, organization, or a people. So the trademark defines something that is specific, peculiar, something that is identifiable only to a certain set of people or a certain person. So we're going to be talking about what is it that limit breakers, people that go beyond the limit, the confines of the limitations put around them, what do they have in common? And that's why I want us to focus on this man called Simeon. Like I said, two of them came into the scene in this passage, Simeon and Hannah, but we're going to focus this morning on Simeon. Now, what happened in this place? Let me just give you a background story. Now, many of us don't probably appreciate and realize that Jesus actually lived in the Old Testament. Jesus' life was lived in the Old Testament. I know when we open our Bible, we only see the Jesus story in the New Testament, but he lived according to the laws of Moses in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a tradition, and the tradition was that they are going to circumcise the male child on the eighth day after the child has been born. And there is also another tradition, especially that is peculiar to this part, to the baby and the mother this time. After day 40, the child is supposed to be brought into the temple if the child was a male. If the child was a female, it will have an extended period of leave for 66 days. So if you had a male child, you bring the male child into the temple on day 40, right, to be presented to the priest. That's after you have already circumcised the child on day 8. But if it was a female child, they call it the period of purification. So the woman will not come into the temple, or what you would call the church today, until day 66. After his purification. The reason for that is before those particular days, 40 and 46, for male and female respectively, it is believed that the woman is still unclean. So many more people in our generation will probably have had more excuses not to come to church after they've given birth if we were to be living under that covenant, you know. But that was the tradition. Now, Jesus was taken through that particular tradition. He was circumcised the eighth day, according to the law of Moses. And on day 40, they brought him to the temple. Now, but something peculiar was going to happen here. Now, there was a man called Simeon. The Bible is very silent about the particular age of this man, but it is very safe to imagine that this man was probably old. And he came into the temple, and he came at the time when Jesus was brought into the temple. Now, why was that so? Before that time, God had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until Jesus came. Now, if you remember, a few weeks ago when I was talking, the first week when we were going to talk about this series, I said there were some natural limitations around us as humans. Limitation of time, of space, and of skills, and I gave examples of that. Now, one of the natural limitations of man is death. You know, you can grow as old as you want to, but at certain point, one is going to depart this scene and go into the great beyond, as people will say. Now, this man had that limitation, but because of the fact that he needed to accomplish certain tasks in the agenda of God, that limitation was suspended. That limitation was, as it were, confined. That limitation was limited so that he would be able to fulfill that purpose. Now, the purpose was that God intended that this man was going to bless the son Jesus when he was going to be born. But there was a problem, the problem of death. So he needed to overcome the limitation of death so that this man would be able to accomplish the mission for which he has been set. Now, limit breakers are people upon whom the anointing of God comes to limit and confine the limitations of their lives so that they will be able to accomplish their purpose, God's purpose for their life. And that's exactly what we see in this particular instance. The Bible says that God had already promised this man, had already spoken to him, that you're not going to see death until you see the consolation of Israel, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being born. So that was accomplished at the time when this man came into the temple. Now, but there is something that I want us to come across in this place that is very, very crucial. And that's what I call the trademark, the thing that you will find in everyone that goes beyond their limits, that goes above their expectations in life, that goes beyond the natural confinement of the law of nature to accomplish God's purpose and God's plan for their life. And that's the fact that they always move at the dictates of the Spirit of God. Everyone that has ever accomplished God's purpose for their life and have exceeded their limits in terms of natural confinements of the law of nature have always been people that move at the instance, at the dictates of God. In other words, simply put, they are people that are led by the Spirit. Verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. He came by the Spirit into the temple. Why did he not come an hour before? Why did he not come an hour after? Why did he have to come at the time when the child Jesus was being born? Was being brought into the temple? Simple reason: he came by the Spirit. In other words, at that time he was led by the Spirit into the temple. So, the trademark of every limit breaker, the trademark of everyone that has ever ascended beyond the confinement, of, as it were, of the limitations of life, is the fact that they live by the dictate of the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit of God. They are led into things by the Spirit of God. By the way, there are many things that lead us these days. We are led by money. Some of us are led by ambitions. Ambitions about work or career. Some of us are led by family. And some of these things are innocuous in the sense that they are not really bad, but they are substandard in terms of what God actually wants us to be led by, especially if we're going to be living beyond the limitations of life. Some of us are led by our spouses. You know, some of us are led by our wives, our husbands, our partners. Some of us are led by our children, you know. And that's going to surprise you because some lives have been dictated by the kids in the house. So the children determine what happens to people. We are led by that. Some of us are led by the government of the nation in making decisions and in moving into places. Some of us are led by the natural circumstances around us. So things around us dictate what happens to us next. Now, everyone that has been led in under those particular circumstances have always lived their life just within the confines of the limitations that the natural phenomenon of life has placed upon them. They can't go beyond that. Now, but there is a better way to live. And like I said a few weeks ago, these things, I'm bringing them to us because I believe strongly that something is going to happen to us as we enter into a new year, that God wants us to move beyond the natural limitations around us to break through, as it were, into something bigger. And that's why we started with the title, You Are More Than This. Your life is more than this. God's purpose for your life is far more than this. So to break through into that realm, you need to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Some of us are, unfortunately, we are even led by more dangerous things. I've just recounted that some of us are led by money, family, and spouses, and things like that. Those things are still partially, in that sense, acceptable. Some of us are led by dangerous things, greed, covetousness, unhealthy competition, what they call the rat race. He's done it. I have to do it. That's the way some of us are led. If you have some people, why are you doing what you are doing? Yeah, because the next door neighbor is doing it. Or because my friend is doing it. Or because my brother is doing it. I mean, we call it just being competitive. But the truth of the matter is we have inordinate ambition to become what others have become or what others want us to become. And that's not right. That's just not right. Some of us, we are led by every other thing that you can think of that is different from the Spirit of God. The only way God wants us to be led is by His Spirit. And if we are led by the Spirit, we are sure that we will always be on time. We're sure that our dictates, what dictates the pace of our life is beyond the natural phenomenon of life, such that we can be able to hit the mark. Now, but when we talk about being led by the Spirit, a lot of things come into our mind naturally. Now, many of us think that when you need to be led by the Spirit, you need to become spiritual. Some few people are just being led by the Spirit, and I don't think I'm one of them. We think led by the Spirit means that God tells you, wake up, go to brush your teeth, come back, sit down, open your Bible to page 332, sit down there and read. Stop. We think that's being led by the Spirit. We think being led by the Spirit means God, the Holy Spirit, will appear in your car every point in time and talk to you and even share maybe cookies and stuff like that. You are led by the Spirit. Some of us think being led by the Spirit means that we have these dreams, visions, prophecies that comes to us every 4 hours, every 6 hours, or every day to tell us exactly what to do tomorrow. Some of us have a warped way that we think that God leads people. And if it's not in the confine of those warped ways, then we think we can't be led. We're not even qualified to be led. But even though it is possible that God leads in all the areas that I've talked about, by visions, by dreams, and by prophecies, God wants to lead us in things that are more, things that are simpler, as it were, if you want to put it that way, simpler than that. Things that looks natural, that just looks normal. It's not like He wants to be leading us every day by prophecy. Somebody comes to your house and tells you, this is the way you need to go. It's even commoner in some societies. Some people will just be walking in the marketplace or in the shopping mall, and somebody will stop there and say, I have a word from you. You are going to do this, you are going to do that. And they will swallow hook, line, and sinker and believe that that's the word from God. Some people, I remember years ago, I was somewhere, and then there was this lady that was with me, and somebody was just passing by, and the other guy that was just passing by just branched into where we were and started giving some prophecies to this young lady. And as soon as the man left, the young lady began to write down everything that was spoken to her, and she was going to follow every step that the man has just told him. Weird. But we love that because it's spectacular. It's good, especially when it tallies with some of our experiences. You are thinking that you want to move. You want to make a trip. The Spirit is telling me that don't do that. Who doesn't want to make a trip at every point in time? I mean, at some point, you want to make a trip. You are thinking that you want to have another child. Don't do that. Somebody is telling us that we love that. It's spectacular. It's out of this world. It looks good. But that's not the exact way God wants to lead us. Being led by God doesn't have to be spectacular. You remember the story of when Elijah was asking God, why are things going wrong? And then he went into this particular cave and he was hiding himself there. And God showed up. The Bible says there were four elements that came. The first one was a wind, and the Bible says that God was not there. And then there was an earthquake, but God was not there. And then there was a fire, but God was not there. And then it came like a still, small voice, and that was where God was. So it is wrong to always associate the spectacular with the leading of God, because the leading of God just comes natural. Almost, you can almost miss it if you don't listen. Now, some of us think the leading of God is like you will hear a whisper. Like we were told as a child, that when it's so loud, it's the devil. If it's whisper, it's God. But I've never been able to differentiate that. You know? Is it loud? Is it soft? Is it compelling? I've never been able to differentiate that. Because there is a way that God intends to lead that is just natural. It's just the way it is. Now, the leading of God is not exactly the way some of us expect it to be. And oftentimes we miss it because we don't exactly know what to expect. Now, for instance, let me just give you this example. You have prepared to go and visit a particular friend. Maybe the friend lives in Fremantle. And you've already given him a call. I'm coming to your house. And he gives you the address. You type the address on your GPS, maybe on your phone or in your car. And then the GPS tells you, in 300 meters, turn left. Drive 4 kilometers. And then bear right. You know what I'm talking about? That's the way the GPS leads us. And many of us like to be led that way. You know? And then at the end of the day, say, yes, you have reached your destination. Your destination is on the right. And then you just come down from your car and you just open your door. And here comes your friend. You will love that. Right? But let me tell you a different kind of leading. And this may be the kind of leading that God wants us to actually participate in. You are going to drive into your friend's house, and the friend has already given you the address, and you've typed it on your GPS, and along the line, while you were driving there, something happened to your car. The car broke down, so you couldn't move forward. But you were able to call your friend and tell him, friend, I'm supposed to come to your house, but along the line, there has been a problem with the car. So what's going to happen? And the friend said, oh, you didn't tell me you were coming because I'm just around the corner. This friend actually runs a business. He runs a business whereby people use a towing vehicle. So he drives a towing vehicle around to help tow damaged vehicles from one place to the other. And just said, oh, don't worry. Where are you? And he said, I'm in so-and-so place. Oh, I'm just around the corner. I will actually come to you. Now he comes with his big towing vehicle. Get your vehicle attached, you know, to his. For some of us that have had some problems with their car, we understand what I'm talking about. Get your car attached to his and then begins to drive home. Now, your GPS is still on in the car. So as long as when the guy gets to the next turning, the GPS still says, turn right. But at that particular instance, even if you were in the car, will you bother? No. Why? Because you've already been connected, attached, aligned to something that knows where you're going. Is somebody following what I'm talking about? Now, so, and then the towing vehicle begins to go and eventually after a few minutes or a few hours, depending on how far your friend's house is, he is able to get you into that place and you calm down. Now, the first one looks very spectacular and we love that. The second one, you're just doing nothing. All you do is align your car to the towing vehicle and then it gets you to where you're going. What if God actually wants to lead us the second way? Not the first. In other words, he wants us to align ourselves with his such that he will be the one doing the driving and then we just follow. Now, but the problem with that is the fact that we need to be aligned with him. Because if we are not aligned with him, then there is no way we can follow his movement. And being aligned with him comes with a particular responsibility, which I want to share with us this morning. Being aligned with God, being led of God, comes with a particular responsibility. Romans chapter 8, and I'll read from verse 14. Romans chapter 8. Don't forget, we're talking about the trademark of limit breakers. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. What does that mean? Now, I've just said that Simeon was able to accomplish what he needed to accomplish because he was led into the temple at that time. So the natural phenomenon of death was suspended because this man was walking at the instance, at the dictate of the leading of the Spirit. Now, but the Bible in Romans chapter 8 has just told us that if we are to be the sons of God, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. In other words, what makes us sons or daughters of God is not the fact that we appear in church on Sundays. Now, what makes us sons of God is not the fact that we have a Bible. It's not the fact that we have even several versions of the Bible or we sleep with one. What makes us sons of God and what qualifies us to be led of, what makes us sons of God is because we are led of God. We are led of God. Now, but there is a process involved, and the process involved is also stated in that place. Look at verse 12, and that's why I want to do a bit of teaching this morning. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. In other words, people of God, we are debtors, right? We hold someone, but we don't hold sin. So, because we don't hold sin, we cannot be forced by sin to respond to his whims and caprices. We are debtors, but we are not debtors to sin. Right, verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What's that saying? If we live each time sin appears to us and tell us this is what we need to do, and we just follow hook, line, and sinker, we just believe it and we just follow her, the Bible says we will die. We will die. Now, the death there is not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. It's talking about emancipation from God. We're going to be disconnected, as it were, from the life of God, from the way God leads us. We're going to die. And it's very sad because we have many believers in the body of Christ that are living dead. Dead in the sense that they live at the dictate of sin. And so the umbilical cord, as it were, that connects them to God in terms of the dictate, the leading of God, is already severed. Are they believers? Yes, they are believers because they've been blood washed by God. They've confessed the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But are they led? No. Why? Because at the appearance of sin, they always concur. I want you to appreciate that this the passage we have just talked about says the sons of God. Because a few verses down the line in verse 16, for instance, the Bible says the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And it's not mixing words at all. Because there is a difference between a child of God in the sense, in the context of what we're reading, and a son of God. A son of God talks about somebody who is matured enough to make relevant choices. A child of God is just born into the kingdom. All right? That's why the Bible says, for instance, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Two different things entirely. Because a child was born in Bethlehem, but a son was given by River Jordan. You remember God speaking, say, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Why? Because he was going to start his ministry. So everyone that takes the responsibility to start what God is giving him as an assignment is assuming the position of sonship. And that's when you become a son. So the fact that you are born into the kingdom does not automatically give you that status. Galatians chapter 5 also says the same thing. If you have time, you can read it when you get home. He said a child, as long as he's a child, is not different from a servant. He cannot be given all the resources in the house, even though they belong to him, because he's a child. So when we're talking about being led of God, we're talking about people who have developed their spirit man to the point that they are able to take responsibilities and they are able to move at the dictate of the spirit. They are sons. Is somebody who is with me in this place? So God is saying to us, if we want to be led of God, we need to come up to the level where we become sons of God and not just children of God. Now, how does that happen? Because that's the next question you want to ask me. How does that happen? He says, if you respond to the dictate of sin, you will die. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, talks about the works of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you, a believer, do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, and it keeps on, drunkenness, you know, murders, revelries, and the like. In other words, the list is endless. You can put in the rest. Now, if those things appear to us and say, James, do this, and we concur to it, because we have concurred unto that, there is a death that has taken place in us. And because there is a death that has taken place in us, we are severed, as it were, from the leading of God. Now, let's look at the place where we started from, in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, it says, we are not debtors to sin. In other words, we don't have to pay whatever the sin asks us to pay. We are not debtors to sin. It says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. In other words, let me make it simple for us, people of God. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. And at every point in time, whether it's on Christmas Day or on New Year's Eve or in year 2015, we'll always be faced with choices. And there will be two major choices that we'll need to make. Is it the choice to follow the dictate of sin or to live in righteousness? Every time we follow the dictate of sin, we are just dying. We're killing our spirit man. We are depriving our spirit man what it the nutrients it requires to align himself. You remember the story I talked about? Align himself with God to be led. Every time we fall into sin, we are depriving that spirit man what it requires for him to be led. Because being led is this. Let me, and I will show you with this. I brought a few balloons there. And I will show you with this, okay? I'm going to speak into the microphone so that, because this is recorded actually, and we'll put it on our website for people to. Now, I've got three kinds of balloons here. Now, the way God wants to lead us is this. He wants us to be aligned with him. Aligned means he wants the nature that is in him to be the same nature in us, so that the more of the nature of him that we have in us, naturally we will flow in the direction that he goes. I will say that again. The more of God's nature that we have in our spirit man, and when I say us, I'm talking about our spirit man, the more natural it is for us to think his thought, feel his feeling, just naturally do what he will do if we were in our position, the more of him we have in us. And the less of him we have in our spirit man, the more difficult it is for him to lead us. And I will show you. Now, every man that is born into sin. So when we come to God, God cleans up the slate, our sin is forgiven, and then it is now the responsibility of us as children of God to begin to develop our spirit man to become in alignment with his. Now, this guy is not born again. Why? In this thing, in this balloon, for those people that will be listening, let me just explain. Now, this balloon has got sand in it. Okay? So I put sand in this. Okay? This balloon cannot naturally flow in here. Why? Because the nature in it is different from the nature in its environment. Don't forget, when we're born again, we are planted into God. The Bible says, your life is hid with Christ in God. Right? So the natural environment that you dwell as a person is the natural environment of the nature of God. Right. So this guy does not have that nature in his spirit. So he's filled with sand. You can say this guy is born again, but he does not renew his spirit man. So there is nothing in him that will make him flow, even though he's in God. He's in the nature in him is different. All right? Because he has not renewed those nature. He has not drained, as it were, what they call drained the pus in him. All right. Now, this guy has done some work. I'm not saying that's you, but this guy has done some work. Now, in this one, there is a bit of hair, you know, in it. But you can see, he's still going to struggle. It's not like this guy. He doesn't just fall straight. He will fall gradually. But he's still going to struggle to flow in the environment of the spirit of his leading. Why? He's got something in him, but he doesn't have enough. So he may make it sometimes, depending on the situation. He may miss it. Right. I've been trying to keep this guy down since we started the service. This thought balloon. Why? There is so much of the nature of the environment in him that he just wants to flow with it. Right? So if we are to go out now and we're to throw this one, and throw this one, this guy is naturally going to flow in the direction of the wind. Why? Because the nature in him is similar to the nature in his environment. Exactly, that's the way God wants to lead us. He wants us to be led in such a way that we just naturally, because we are aligned with him, we just naturally flow in the direction of his thought, of his mind. As he's thinking it, that's the way we are thinking, because we are joined with him. Remember what I said earlier today? He said, to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. There is hope. There is a nature in God, and he just wants us to have that same nature. Now, but what will not allow us to have that same nature is every time we have an opportunity to sin, the sin knocks at the door, and we just follow his will. We just follow his dictate. At that time, we die. In other words, more grain of sand goes into the balloon, and more grain. Actually, the grain is supposed to be there, but because of the by the time you begin to deprive the flesh, you know what happens? I don't want to go through the process, but imagine me opening this, and the next time this guy has the opportunity to follow into sin, he says no. A piece of grain is removed from him. Are you following what I'm saying? A piece of the grain of the sand is removed from him because he has, at that time, he has snuffed out life from that flesh, from that aspect of his flesh. So the more of that he is able to resist, the more hair goes into him, because the more of the nature of sin is removed from him. So that at the end of the day, by the time you remove all the nature of sin in this guy becomes like this. Why? Because naturally, the life outside flows into him, balloons him up, and is able to flow with the Spirit of God. That is the leading that God is at. That's the higher leading that God wants to take us into. A situation where his thoughts, they just naturally become our thoughts. We just think like him. You know, our emotions, our dealings, our feelings are just like him. He doesn't want us to wait until the next time we have an opportunity to go and pray 1 hour before we know the mind of God. You know, some people never ask for the mind of God until they want to get married. And they start asking, Lord, I'm going to pray and fast, and you need to speak to me. No, it doesn't work that way. Because the nature needs to be drained. And it comes as a process as you walk with him. So that the grain of sin, as it were, is drained and the life of God flows into you. So that when you walk into that place, hallelujah, you know that girl is for me. Why? Because your spirit man just aligns with him. Or with God for that purpose. People of God, I really desire that we come to a place where we begin to get led by the Spirit. And the more of no that we say to sin is the more of yes that we say to the life of God flowing into us. So next time when you have the opportunity to fall into sin, the Bible says, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not consent, because we will always have opportunity, and I've listed the work of the flesh. There are so many, and we will always come in confrontation with them. Would you like to have this? Would you like to have that? Say no. As long as you say no, you know, you're depriving the flesh of what makes it tick. You know the reason why people balloons up, you know, and they become like, you know what I'm talking about? It's because at the dictate of the flesh, they give it. Hey, it's chocolate. No, 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 no. Hey, it's candy. No, 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 no. Hey, it's candy. No, 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 no. You understand? At the dictate of the flesh, they just keep going. You know, of course, I'm into medical practice, and I know that some people talk about it's gene. But, you know, medical science has come to a point that they've realized that many of the things that people talk is genetic is actually not genetic. It's more of our behaviors, our behavioral pattern. And that's why people will come ballooned up and come to, what's the name of the program that they lose weight? Biggest Loser. And then in a few weeks, they are like this. And you say, is this a magic? I thought it was their gene. No! They've always responded to the dictate of their food. It's time to eat. You understand? So at the end of the day, they balloon up. So if you must keep it under, you must say no. And when you say no, the life of God is replacing the sand in the balloon. I just want you to The reason why I went into this is because I want you to have that in your mind when next you have an opportunity to sin knocks at the door. Say no. You know, a few weeks ago, we had fasting and prayer for 7 days, and some of us participated in it. Now, what do you think what do you think was happening at that time? We are saying, look, flesh, I know I eat, but I detect when I eat. You don't dictate for me when I eat, because this is not me. My me is my spirit man. So I can choose when to eat and not to eat. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You are telling the flesh, I'm the one in control here. I'm the one in charge. And as you do that, you are stifling life out of the flesh. And you are giving the spirit of God or your spirit man enough liberty to balloon up that way. So we're not going to be struggling to know the mind of God. Why? Because we are filled with his life. Whenever he blows us in the direction of his will and purpose. Because that's what is in our spirit man. So people of God, let's stop this idea of running after prophecies, after dreams and visions. Of course, God leads that way. God still does lead that way. But that's not the way he does. The Bible says, and the just, I love that, the just shall live by faith. Not by prophecies, not by words from somebody, not by some of these spectacular things. By faith. And by faith comes from your spirit mind. You are ballooned up. So you know his mind. You know his will. You know it just naturally comes to you. It's what you are thinking. That's what you want to do. Years ago, my wife came into my room. We were still dating then, praise God. We dated for like 5 years, actually. some people say, yeah, you know, because it's now 3 months, 2 weeks, and all this. But we dated for 5 years, and I'm not saying you need to, it doesn't need to be that long, but I'm telling you that was my experience, you know. I actually wish it was shorter, to be honest with you, but that was the way it went. Now, and one of the days she came into my room, I was not there, and she left a note on my desk. And then one of my roommates came into the place, and then my roommate, because he is a friend of mine, he just read the note. And then when I came in, he said, you know what? Buki came, he left this note. But if I had not read it and discovered that it was Buki that has written this note, I would have thought that it was you. I mean, the way the note was actually written was like you were the one doing the writing, you know? And I said something. I said, you know what? Because we stay together. We have poured out into each other. I have actually, I mean, because when I came across Buki, I came across her as a pastor. Don't look at me like that way. I was a pastor. So I didn't just want to marry a girl. I actually wanted to marry a partner, somebody that would be ready for whatever God was leading me. So I was taking my conscious effort to pour out, you know what? This is what I think God is saying to me. So after a while, she started writing or talking or doing things the way I will do it. Now, why? Because there was, as it were, a particular nature from my spirit man that has rubbed on him. Now, when we come into God, he wants to put us in a place, in a status, whereby his nature is in us so that we know exactly what he's going to do. We don't have to create a time of prayer and fasting to discover his mind, because we just flow in the direction of his will. Because we have drained out the pulse, we have drained out the sand, we are filled with the life. People of God, that's the challenge for the year 2015. I want us to begin to stifle out life out of our flesh. And say no to it, deny it, you know. When sinners entice you, the Bible says, say no. Say no. Just say no. And as you are doing that, know that you are giving some capacity to your spirit man to begin to fly in the direction of God's will and purpose and plan for your life. So when next people ask you, what is God saying? I believe that God is saying this. Why? You have not heard a voice. You have not even seen any vision. But your spirit man is so aligned to his that you know exactly which direction to follow. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your anointing of grace on this place, in this place, Lord. Lord, I just pray for myself and my brethren as we enter into a new year. We desire to be led of you. We really desire to be led of you, Lord. Because we want to climb above, we want to move above the limitations around us to fulfill your plan and your purpose for us. Therefore, Lord, I ask, O Lord, for a grace, the grace to say no to sin, to kill sin, to mortify sin, to destroy the flesh and mutilate it. Let it come upon us as a people, Lord. So that, Lord, we will always be in alignment with the spirit of truth, with the spirit of grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.